Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Overtime hustling.
What's good, family? Welcome to the first episode of An Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. I'm your host, moderator, Deami Moraney. Tonight with me, we got special guest, Mr. Slink Johnson. You know him from various things, but I'll let him tell you who he is.
Yo, yo, what's up? This is your main man, Slink Johnson, a.k.a. Black Jesus, b.k.a. Lamar Davis, a.k.a. The master of the West African monkey spank technique, five-time wild cheetah submission hold champion. You know what I'm talking about? I'm that nigga. In case you didn't know, I'm the one that your mama told you about. You know what I'm saying? They call me Uncle Slinky. You know what I'm saying? I slide through and do it right every time. You know what I'm talking about? And I appreciate the love. What that shit is, D.
I appreciate that as well. With us as well, we have Mr. Si Capone in the house.
What's up, y'all?
Si Capone, what's happening?
In the building. You know, I'm not as descriptive as Slink over here. You know, I'm on amateur night and shit, so all I do is spit bars and look pretty. So.
Well, I tell you, you know, it take plenty of years, my nigga. I've been doing this a long, long time. Actually, you know, Wild Cheetah Submission Hold Champion, man, gold medalist, 80, 84, 88, 92, and 96. I've been doing this shit for a long time. Wow. I've been training. I was trained by a monk in the Himalayas back in the 70s, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? It's a long road I've taken.
Hey, there we go.
Very long road I've taken.
You got a ways to go, grasshopper. Yeah. Is what's being told to you. And right across the table from me, I got my man, my mellow, my ace, the one and only Jay Gunner.
What's going on? What's going on? What's up with it?
Nothing much, man. What's up with you?
Nothing much over here trying to get these herbs rolled up. You already know, King OG shit.
About
to bust out these edibles and all this
THC. King OG edibles.
Trying to get everybody hammered. That's what I do.
Let them know where they can. Let them know where they can go ahead and find that.
You can holler at me at Gunna Beats on Instagram, or you can holler at Green Jungle Collective, San Bernardino, California. So you get Green Jungle on Instagram and Snapchat and all that shit.
That's what's up. I appreciate that, man. Appreciate everybody falling through. My man Defunk420 right here chilling as well.
Smoke yours, crew.
That's right, smoke yours. Go. Big up to Delore James. That's my dude. Big up to him, man, on all the love you show me. But, gentlemen, we are here to discuss hip-hop in an unbiased environment. And we're just going to go ahead and talk about a few different things here. So, first up, I think one that is the biggest generational divide, in my opinion, the old heads versus the new heads. A lot of times, as old heads, we get accused of saying that all new head music is trash. So I'm going to go around. I'll start with you, Slink, and ask you your opinion on, the new music and the new heads that are doing it today, representing the culture.
Yo, man, yo, okay. As I will proudly wear that badge, old head, you know, trying to be descriptive. You know, I am one of the elder statesmen as far as hip hop is concerned. I like to think, you know, because I became a fan of hip hop in the early '80s, not long after its, you know, said.
Yeah, conception.
Conception.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, basically what I think about the new shit going on. Hey, man, it's like this, man. You gotta let these young dudes do their shit. Now, personally, I understand it a little better because I am an old head. And, yeah, a lot of that shit sound like garbage. But at the same time, I don't have to like it. I know that much, too. I don't have to like it. I don't have to dig it. And I know that the youngsters are on to something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they following they own groove, and they doing their own thing, just like we did. I'm sure a lot of people that came up before me that listened to a lot of Luther Vandross and fucking, you know, R&B and old-ass Osley Brothers and shit, they'll say, hey, that Ice Cube was some bullshit. They'll say that then, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, man, you just got to let these young dudes do their thing and, you know, again, they'll be old heads one day. My only beef with the young, with the new hip hop or younger dudes is, you know, it ain't even a beef, man, because we men. And I know that niggas is hard head. When I say niggas, I mean men.
Right.
We got to bump our head. We'll have to go through it to understand it, a lot of us. And I just be trying to get these young dudes to just show a little more respect for the old shit.
Right.
Because, dude, one day you're going to be old.
Right.
Your little baby, your little baby that you carrying around right now that you got on your album cover, you know, super dope with the chain on with you, that baby's going to be 30 years old, and he gonna look at you like you don't know what the fuck you talking about, too.
Real talk.
So just kind of show a little respect. But, you know, at the end of the day, do I like it? Some of the shit I like. I don't just listen. I don't just check for the niggas' albums. But when the shit come on the radio,
and you hear it,
I listen to it. It's cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm not super fans of none of this shit.
Right.
But God bless them all. May they all get their bread. You know, again, I ain't got to like it.
Exactly. And I think that's my main beef with the oh, you're old head, because I wear that badge, you know, and that title as well, proudly, is we're automatically haters because we can't relate really to the music that's being made by a lot of these young dudes. So there might be something that sonically I like and I pick up, but it's hard, like Slink said, to actually follow these guys and invest in the music. I mean, Simon, do you feel differently? Or I mean, I know you listen to no new head music.
Yeah.
So would you fall into that category where you are the new head hater? I mean,
a new head hater? No, I mean, I'm not a hater. I mean, let them get their money. Let them do what they do. I mean, I'm very critical. You know, certainly if I do listen to it, you know what I mean? Musically, they're not, they're not taught. You know what I'm saying? Like, as far as, you know, with lyricism and hooks, bridges, everything like that, all that stuff is left out. There's no live instrumentation and stuff like that. There's a lot of gaps that they feel. So, you know what I mean?
But in their defense, you know, again, who says there has to be a certain structure?
Yeah, true.
You know what I'm saying? When you got these guys spitting eight, and then they'll come and they'll mumble a little bit, and then they'll come back with a cold 12, and then come with a four-bar hook and a chant. You know what I'm saying? It's like, again, I feel you, because that's what, and again, I'm with you too, because that's what we used to. 16, hook, 16, hook, 16. Yeah. Hook,
right.
Maybe motherfucking interlude somewhere in between, but you know, verses with 16 bars.
Yeah.
But you know, again, I have to give it to them. These young guys are very creative.
Yeah.
You know, again,
yeah,
all of it ain't bullshit. I like to say Kendrick ain't a conventional rapper to me. That dude, he's all over the place, and I like it.
So you put Kendrick with the new heads, or do you think Kendrick has kind of
Move past them.
I think I put Kendrick with the new heads just because he's a young guy.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Although he's very experienced, he has been putting in his footwork well before a lot of people heard of him.
Right.
But I just because he's a young guy, and again, he go to school with these dudes.
Yeah.
So is he different? He go to school, but he's just an exceptional student.
Right. Right.
This
right.
dude is he got it.
Yeah.
He got it, and he got the best of. He has the best of golden era values, being lyricism and penmanship and delivery.
His music. Right. He appreciate old school hip hop, and these new cats, majority of them don't. That's the difference.
Lyricism. I think more than anything, lyricism and style makes hip hop. And I know this is going all over the place, but lyricism, like when we go to Kendrick, the boy got lyricism and style. He can deliver. He can say, hey, this ice cream tastes good in about 50,000 different ways and have you fucked up.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He probably even go and be ultra descriptive of the ice cream. Pistachio mint with the butter in it. That nigga might just, you know what I'm saying? He's raw, man. That right, nigga's
right,
raw.
Right.
He's real descriptive when he rapping too, yeah.
So if Kendrick, I guess, would be the king of the new heads, is he up there with J. Cole? Some people say Big Sean, you know.
I'm going to be biased and say, he's the king. I mean, in my opinion, you know, out of all these under 30 rappers.
Yeah.
Kendrick is definitely, in my opinion, the king of hip hop. You know, just based on, you know, he's the shit of now.
Okay.
The dude got lyrical substance and dexterity.
Right.
He's an amazing writer.
Your ankle monitor going on.
That's my camera running out of battery.
It's all good. So with Kendrick being king, then who's close second when it comes to the new heads? Or is there a close second? Or is this a LeBron James type of situation?
You know what, D? It's so fucked up, man, because I'm high and I want to go all kinds of ways with this, because in reality, man, who's to say who's really king? Because it's some motherfucker in Burnt Bush, South Dakota, that got bars that ain't getting hurt. Right. It's some niggas down there in Water Bucket, Mississippi,
right?
That is amazing.
Shout out to Water Bucket.
Yeah. It's somebody, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
Just because they have the floor don't necessarily mean they got that shit or they the best.
Right.
But however, Kendrick has the floor and he is definitely iller than most.
Right, yeah. Right. No. You know what? There's a couple other artists that I feel that, you know, are close to him, but so far he's been putting out very consistent product. So we can't hate on that. You know what I mean? So let's switch gears real quick and let's talk about something that really is accepted in the culture now. We're going to talk about Ghost Riders. So I know Ghost Riders existed and been around for a long time. You know, off the top of my head, a majority of Dre stuff has been, ghost-written. We got Will Smith joints written by Nas, allegedly, things of that nature. So back in our day as old heads, that was something that was not, that was a death sentence.
Very frowned upon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, accept it. Cats is high-fiving like, yeah, I wrote for this dude. How's the room feel about Ghost Riders in general? And does it even really matter anymore in this current state of hip-hop?
Well, I mean, my take, I mean, as far as the quality of music, it needs ghostwriting. I mean, because the standard of other music is not to the level that it once was. So for them to put a quality product out, and I'm sure it's a lot of ghostwriting going on. It's a very common form now. Because everything is an industry. We done turned it into, a corporate, entity. So, I mean, with the ghostwriting, do I agree with it? No, but I think they come out with better material with it.
In your opinion, it doesn't matter anymore.
Nobody, you know, I mean, nobody goes for the gusto no more. Everybody plays it safe.
It matter to the real hip hop, real hip hop fanatics, the real cats is peeping for overall quality over fame and numbers and all that shit. It matters to the real. When all the bullshit, you turn off the TV, all the hype, all the cameras and all that shit. The barbershop talk gonna be about the basis of the real shit, but not that fancy shit that they got going on.
Can I ask you this though? Are those the cats buying records? Are they supporting at the shows?
But you gotta look at it. The cats that's selling the most records is supported by people that's not even of the hip hop. Drake, right now, if we go look at the demographic of the people buying Drake's music, it's going to be 85% people that don't know nothing about the ghetto, hip-hop, or R&B.
And
yes.
Kendrick, too.
Yes, because minorities don't buy music.
That's their window into... Yeah. That's their window.
Minorities don't buy music.
Crossover market. You sell records, you got to have that crossover market. Nah. You're not selling
I can kill this
hood.
Off right here.
Kill it.
When the last time you went and bought a CD?
Huh? Exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
I think Safe and Sound was the last shit signed by.
What's the last CD you bought?
The last physical CD I bought was Young Buck straight out of Cashville.
Exactly.
Last physical CD I bought was Dead Prez, Let's Get Free. I had to buy it like four times since cats kept stealing it when I bought it.
I think
it
I bought Infamy Mob Deep in like 99 or something
so
like
that's
that.
What I'm
it
saying.
Was
they ain't trying to appease to us, so let them do what they do.
Now, when you ask, if you ask me, I'm in the middle of the road because, again, as the elder statesman, I see things a little bit differently. Again, I like to feel I'm a little, I might have obtained a little wisdom in my years. So, you know, again, is ghostwriting frowned upon? It depends on who you ask. Like, you ask my nigga Jay Gunner, he's going to say, hell yeah, it's frowned upon because it depends on, is hip-hop a lifestyle for you or is hip-hop just entertainment?
Right.
Is it just some music you like? You fuck around. Is you a nigga that listen to hip-hop and then you going to fuck around and listen to some Taylor Swift? You just going to listen to whatever?
Exactly.
You just want to dance? Yeah. Then no, ghostwriting don't matter to you if you just want to dance. But if you a nigga that's living and breathing and eating and sleeping
people
and shit,
the culture
hip-hop,
care.
You care.
Yeah.
You care. Because, and to me, you know, I care because, you know, I understand the difference. This is a business.
Right.
So in a business, sometimes you're going to contract people to perform a job for you to make sure that you got the best product that you can have.
And it's an investment.
It's an investment. I dig that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? However, as like most businesses say, you need a disclaimer. Mm. Because I think, you know, years ago, I can't tell you the 40 album it was, but years ago, 40 had a disclaimer on one of his records. Like, yo, this is just music. This, that, and this, that, and the third. Say it. Say it. Because now, not only are you, you know, if you're going to be, if you're going to be a rapper that employs ghostwriters, carry yourself like an actor.
Exactly.
Like Drake.
But that's
like
what it Drake. Is. They're yeah. all what actors. You, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, man, this is New Jack City 2017, baby. Mm. You know, and Nino is on the mic. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. I don't buy records, and like I said, I prefer they get ghostwriters because it's just better music that they putting out collectively. Not for me, but you know what I'm saying? For them,
there's some clever ass that don't know no better. There's some clever motherfuckers out there. I give them that. There's some clever ass writers, and shout out to the ghostwriters because I want to see everybody employed. Get you some money. Somebody got to do it again. Mm. At the end of the day, I want people to know that the panel over here at the Honest Conversation About Hip Hop are not haters. Get your money. We ain't got to like that shit, and we not telling nobody to not buy your shit. We just saying we don't like it, and we saying why. Or if we like it, we'll say we like your shit, and it's cool, and we'll let it be known. But again, at the end of the day, for sure, Slink Johnson want every young nigga to get his money. I don't exactly. give a fuck. As long as it's legal, and as long as you maintaining your dignity, and you can look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, do your shit, man. Now, do I have to like that shit? Nah, nigga, that's some bullshit. Get that shit the fuck away from me.
So, I guess the verdict has been has come down in the case of the new heads. We're definitely not haters.
Being a rapper, being a rapper myself, I write raps. I wrote raps. I got songs. I don't want to go into all that. However, I wrote all my raps. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And now it's a little bit different. I don't mind. I understand it a little bit. I ain't got the time. Go ahead, nigga. You gonna write me something dope as long as it fit me, and I can tailor it to fit me. I'll spit some fly shit, and I'm gonna let it be known. Yeah, my nigga D-Funk wrote that. But I'm not fit to go around here jumping in ciphers, hiding it and jumping in ciphers and shit either. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nigga, that's one thing about rappers that I feel like a lot of these rappers don't deserve the title rapper no more. They deserve the title of entertainers.
They just entertain. Because
a rapper
yeah.
would jump in a cipher, and that's what we do. That's how we. That's what we love. But some of these niggas be so full of themselves, they can't freestyle. They can't step in a cipher. Again, no disrespect to them, but you're an entertainer, my nigga. You got all these lights and shit. The bitches come out. You know what I'm saying? You need all that shit. That's good, my nigga. It's dope. It's entertaining. I like it. But you're not a rapper no more. You're an entertainer. Yeah. You like Frank Sinatra, my nigga. Mm. No disrespect. Respect, get your money, but you're not a rapper. You're not fit to be in the garage going at it, spitting some shit off the dome, off the TOP, chilling. Just you know what I'm saying, doing it for fun, fucking around with Capone, just want to kick a few bars for the camera, just, you know, talking, you're not doing it for that.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying, nigga? You need your hammer dancers, nigga. You need the pyrotechnics, nigga.
They need a whole production to be who they are.
Yeah, you need the helicopter to come down on the stage, nigga. You need the flying bitches, all that shit, nigga.
So let me ask this question then, because you just brought up a good point. So the culture with, you know, the disconnection between what these youngsters we believe they should know and what they actually do know. You know, whose fault is that? Is that our fault as old heads for not providing any guidance to them? You know, if we're saying that they're lost and you know, need to be found.
Well, when you ask me, that's real deep. I don't even really want to get into that because the structure of the black family is fucked up. It's so much more the old heads could be teaching the youngsters. You know what I'm saying? Or guiding the youngsters. It ain't even so much teaching the guiding, but we not frowning upon it. We not showing these niggas that's not cool. We accepting it for that check. You know what I'm saying? We're accepting it for that check. We allowing a lot of shit in because these niggas get the check. And a young nigga, he employs the OG who's probably out the pen, you know, unemployable. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And he come around with that check and he blessing the hood. This nigga ain't finna say nothing because I'm eating now. I don't give a fuck that this nigga's wearing tights and then a plunging neckline.
That old, you know, soldier boy shit.
I don't give a fuck that he's doing it. It's cool. Fuck it, man. You got that check. So I don't want to go into that. There's so much more that old heads can be teaching.
It's a deeper,
I'm just saying, as far as
that's the root to all problems.
Do you think, just from the hip hop standpoint, that we as old heads are not doing enough reaching out to the young cats that are coming up musically?
No, we as old heads are not. We as old heads are employing that shit. The old record labels, these niggas, these OG record labels, these big time records, they're not. they're not niggas young. They're not old heads from the hood that's going to tell them some real shit. They corporate investors. And right. these niggas, these young niggas don't listen to old niggas no way.
Anyway. Right,
right. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, they just be like, look at you, yeah. nigga, look at you. Nigga, you did this shit too. right. All right, well, you right, my nigga. You know what I'm saying? And niggas is doing whatever for that dollar. And
they on some show me shit. Youngsters don't respect nothing but a dollar bill or a bullet. Straight up. They ain't got no respect for nothing at all. Only thing they respect is some cash in your hand, some flash, or a nigga putting somebody on their fucking
right,
back.
Right, right, my nigga. To all the young niggas, man, I tell you, I love you, man. Get your money, shine, and floss on them, man. But be mindful as to, you know, as a old head who knew some old heads that were once young heads that were up and flashy and cocky, they ain't up no more. So I'm telling you, what goes up must come down. Mm-hmm. So please, while you up, you know, show respect to the older cats that did it before you, because you won't be the shit one day. You ain't gonna be the shit forever, my nigga. You gonna be the shit for a while if you do it right, but you ain't gonna be the shit forever. You know what I'm talking about? So you need to listen to somebody so your relationships will be good later on in life.
Hey, and that's real. And that's why they call this man Black Jesus. He just hit you with the gospel, young head. So if you're not taking that, I don't know what to tell you. So let's move on to a question in regards to the legacy of Tupac Shakur. We all know they got the All Eyes on Me joint, you know, coming out. And recently you had the guy Funk Flex go in on Pac and say some you know, outlandish things. So aside from that. You know, I'll ask you, Simon. Give me the legacy, Pac's legacy in your eyes.
I mean, it was many Pac's. You know what I mean? But what he wanted to be, the Pac that I appreciate is the one that usually it's the older generation that appreciate. Everybody loved the All Eyes on Me Pac, You Can't See Me Pac, and you know that's what they remember Pac for. But me, you know, Me Against the World, So Many Tears, all. When Pac was trying to get deep and connect, you know, he pulled you in because it felt like he grew up right next to you. You know what I mean? And that struggle he was, you know, relatable with. So, I mean, if you ask everybody has a different interpretation of Pac.
Right. But what's yours, though?
I mean, Mine, like I said, it just on that realness, man, that Pac, I was raised by Black Panthers. I was taught to think outside of the box, and he made it relatable on music or on wax. So to me, that's the Pac that I relate to try to change the world Pac. You know what I mean?
What about you, Slink? What's
Pac definitely left a legacy, man. I really value Pac for, you know, the feelings and emotions that he invoked in niggas. You know, he gave a, you know, at the time, you know, when Pac was alive, I was, you know, around his age, you know what I mean? And feeling that youthful rebelliousness, you know, coming into finding out who I am, coming into finding out the evils of the world, and, you know, beginning to be able to look at myself and analyze myself as a young Black man and be able to turn my anger and frustration to the people who are really oppressing us.
Right.
Angry and young Black men. But Pac, man, I really value him for that. You know, Pac right. made you feel some type of way. Pac made you feel like you can't stop, you had to go. You know what I'm saying? You could not lose. You know what I mean? Again, Me Against the World, that was the fucking, come on, man, that's Me Against the World, bro. That's like, you know, again, if you can't win or be motivated by that, you know what I'm saying? What can you be motivated by? You know what I'm saying?
No,
I got nothing to lose. You know, right, it's a good world to get full of motherfuckers.
Right, and that's the Pac I felt. I never felt fresh out of jail, you know, out on bail, California dreaming Pac. I never felt that Pac, to be honest with you. You know, Guns, what about yourself, man? What's Pac's legacy?
Pac's legacy to me is like, I can't put Pac in any rap conversation with no other rapper. To me personally,
and that's because what? Why is that? Because
he's like a icon. He like Bob Marley, Marvin Gaye. Like, he surpassed just rap. The way that he touched people beyond rapping words was deeper than what he was actually saying.
Right. Like, so is Pac hip hop's only icon
in that lane? Yeah.
So the biggest star. No one's eclipsing that.
Okay. Nobody will ever come across and make you feel his music the way that Pac did. It didn't have to be the most lyrical, complex words. Like people say, Biggie was more technical with the words and all that. Yeah, but the way that he came across was the objective for him. The other cat's objective was to be this super
dope,
precise stats, wordplay, vocabulary, all of this. You know what I mean? So it's a difference. I think that a lot of people don't give him credit, but I think Scarface was a big influence on Pac for him.
I agree.
To change from the super hip-hop running man-ass Pac and Digital Underground shit like in the movies and all that to the conscious-minded gangster. Like, I think him and Kane kind of was the people that kind of he was influencing him. And he took what Scarface created with that kind of like painting pictures with words and the most feeling that ever been in any kind of hip-hop records, because we started off on some goofy shit. With that little to the hip, to the hop, that was cool. Just like we got goofy shit right now. You know what I mean? Like, we had goofy ass club ass hip hop ass records back then, just like you got right now.
Right.
The way he came across, it just had a bigger message. The overall impact of how you felt when you felt when you heard his music, that separated him from everybody in the rap game.
Okay, and I feel that. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Pac as an artist as well. You know, with me, there's always this, like you said, there's many Pacs. And I just felt later on, you know, I wasn't really rocking with that. And I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't dig into all 13 Machiavellis that were released or whatever. You know, I got glimpses of
all of those. Oh, I got to speak on that.
You know.
Pac is the most disrespected rapper with production after he has died. They put him on so much trash ass beats and thanks, corny ass.
So you're telling me Pac's garbage production is worse than the corny joints that they threw Biggie?
They disrespected him so bad.
Biggie had one album. Pac had like 19 of them.
He wouldn't have chose 95% of the beats that they put him on all these remake albums. Yeah. It sounds corny.
So are you telling me, Jake Gunna, that Pac would have not let Eminem produce his whole album?
Oh, hell no.
Pac would have probably slapped the shit out of Eminem. Yeah. But not just on GP, but you know, that wouldn't have been
so
his
Pac's
first
living,
choice.
There is no Eminem producing.
No, because they let Eminem produce for him when he was still learning the ropes of being a producer. Later on, he did Renegade. He made some real dope beats.
Dre was wild for that.
You know what I mean? I just didn't. I thought it was a slap in the face to his legacy, the way they put him on these corny ass pop ass beats. I didn't like that shit.
Again, Jay Gunner, it's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business, man.
They trying to fill up tracks.
It's a business. At the end of the day, it's a business. They don't care about a nigga with a backpack and some headphones.
I'm not saying that.
Give a fuck. They just gonna put the hottest name or whatever.
But look how many producers that would have gave a beat away just to say that they did something for Pac, but they just did it with whoever they can find. It's a lot of people. Man, don't give me nothing. Just
put
names.
I'm sure they put it in. Come on, man. I'm sure they put what they thought into it again. Jay Gunner, you just a consummate hip-hop head, man. Come on, man. Your standards are strict, man.
I feel like they dropped the ball with that. Whoever was
A&R. Of course they did.
But how did the DJ Vlad and Tupac and all that stuff come out right when they picked the beats and it came out better than the actual CDs that was on the
record? But, I mean, M had a bigger name than Vlad. He'll always have a bigger name than Vlad.
My belief is that Eminem said, I know you have some Tupac vocals, and I want them. Yeah. I want to produce
for them. They ain't telling
them
no.
And at that time, they're not telling M no. M is the industry
he
at that time.
He was Interscope
He still is Interscope. Yeah. To be honest, he drops today. He's outselling everybody. But so he is. I mean, he tells them to jump. They're gonna say how high, you know.
But you know what? In the long run,
about hip-hop.
that damaged Pac legacy for the people that didn't hear him. Those real songs without those corny ass. Imagine somebody young that never even heard the real shit and they hear Troublesome over this old fucking country western ass beat. That's all fast and corny. Like it kind of painted a picture of that's not really what it was. It like for people that don't know no better. We heard the originals. We heard it from the jump, but it can mess it up for somebody else that's just coming in, somebody younger, they could come in and start listening to the corny versions of the Pac songs.
Nah, but I'm going to tell you, this is where that disconnect is. If we're talking about that generational gap. Them youngsters, you know what I mean, that's 25 and younger, or that picked up Pac late after, like, they didn't pick up the Me Against the World Pac or Machiavelli or All Eyes on Me. The cats that listen to Pac after, they're more familiar with those Machiavelli 19 tracks and them tracks that was thrown on them other beats, and they didn't know better. You know what I mean? They weren't collectors or have the old albums, you know, in which, you know, Pac was involved with in the production and everything and making the decisions. So the youngsters, you know, I mean, we listen to Pac, and I mean, depending on our favorite Pac song, if we went around the room, it would be one of the albums that he was connected to when he was alive. But if you ask a youngster what their favorite Pac track is or their top five, I promise you 3 out of 5 of those is going to be on them little swap meet bootlegs that was released right after the fact that he passed.
Right, but that's what they have access to.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
that's
what I'm saying.
But they got access.
They
got access to Me Against the World too.
Yeah,
they do. But but I'm gonna tell you right now,
the
local
is gonna go that deep.
But when you're speaking in terms of access,
yeah.
So I'm agreeing with you. You know what I'm saying? They're gonna grab the shit that the posthumous Pot. You know what I'm saying?
They ain't gonna dig it because they don't have to.
Exactly. So again, you know, when that's what music does. Music invokes feelings by where you were at and you know how
time,
old when you heard that first that song at the time, and it bring them feelings back. So again, the shit that they get ain't the shit that necessarily was popping when we was on it like that.
Exactly.
That's what's popping at they time. For them, and I appreciate it just for the fact that they can connect with Pac still.
True,
you know what I'm saying? They still can connect with Pac. I hear 18-year-olds talking about Pac. Like, come on, man, what the fuck? Pac been deceased longer than you've been alive. The fuck you know about Pac? Mm-hmm. But you know, God bless them, and I'm glad they do. Mm-hmm. Again, just like fucking, I'm a big Ray Charles fan. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And you know that happened with the movie. And I appreciated that, you know, again, between that and my mother, you know, being a big fan of Ray Charles, you know, watching the movie kind of brought it all in together for me. And
I had to
like,
get Jamie his props. That was a hell of a way acted that movie.
That's definitely one of the classic performances
right there.
Definitely.
That had me going searching shit that's not on the movie soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And just more shit. So, again, that's what music is about, you know, and you know, my mom might not agree with the movie per se. I'm sure she liked it, but I'm saying it, I'm sure it might be something about, you know, the way then, you know, the resurgence of
it wasn't on point exactly how it was. Like they go, this should have been this way. He didn't really wear this. He did it this way.
Exactly.
Yeah. The technical part to it.
Exactly. But the bottom line is, you know, again, I can appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Shout out to the kids.
And at the end of the day, like you said, Gunna, Pac's the icon. You know, you got to respect that. Whether it's the new stuff that you love, or the older stuff that you know we love, or the current you know folks of the newer stuff. So you got to give Pac his just due. And you're right, he is an icon. He's up there with the Bobs and the Michaels and the Princes and stuff
like that.
Yeah.
You know, he's on that one name level. So we'll talk about another one name real quick. So when we say Vlad, meaning Vlad TV, let's discuss, is Vlad good or bad, you know, for the culture? Who wants to step up first and answer that question?
Well, first of all, I'll say this. Vlad's a friend of mine. Vlad has a... Vlad's been a friend of mine for a couple of years now.
Yeah, big ups to Vlad.
So I don't want to be biased at all. You know, again, I know that, you know, Vlad a grown man, and sometimes he can rub some people wrong. And, hey, that's just what it is. Personally, he did me no wrong. And
right.
Again, he's a journalist.
Yeah.
That's what journalists do. You know what I'm saying? Just imagine if you got journalists like Vlad who kind of rub people wrong by, you know, stating his opinion or
–
you know, the way he might acquire his information. And you got motherfuckers that just suck everybody dick they interview. So Simon, tell me again. Yeah. So look. Your fucking album is just so dope. Next nigga, you know. Oh, Jay Gunna. Oh yeah. You got the best fucking album. Your album is so dope. The next weekend. Oh my god. Damn me. Hey, oh my god. You have the best fucking album I've heard all year. Come on, man.
You're right. I agree.
And again, as far as Vlad go, you know, all these rappers and niggas is wordsmiths. You know what I'm saying? Again, I try to out-talk that nigga. Mm. That nigga interrogate your ass and how you know you done fucked up, don't you?
Hey, you know what you just made me think about? Nobody would have a problem with Vlad if he was black.
Exactly. Nobody have a problem with him if he was black. Real talk.
They mad because he's not.
What about Charlemagne?
Charlemagne?
I don't think Charlemagne gets the same type of heat Vlad gets. And I'll be honest with you.
Because Vlad actually know about hip-hop like that. Charlemagne is just a radio personality.
Right. So I think Vlad gets a lot of heat because cats go on there. And honestly, they snitch on themselves. It's very easy. If someone asks you a question that you do not want to answer, you don't answer the question.
Exactly. You know? Do not fucking answer the question. Nutsack, you stupid bastard. You get up there, you shut the fuck up.
That's the disconnect. That's the old generation, young generation.
They just up there talking loud and shit.
Because niggas like to show out on the internet.
Yeah,
and that's what the fuck you doing. Yeah, so the nigga came in, so I shot the nigga.
Soldier!
Shut up, man. God damn, nigga, sit down and ask some motherfucking questions. You don't want to ask a question? Yo, I don't want to ask a question. Yeah. You get all mad and shit. Why don't you want to ask a question? Can we go to the next one or right. I'll leave? Yeah, I don't want to ask the question. Mm-hmm. Shut your fucking mouth. Shout out to DJ Vlad, because these motherfucking rappers be out here fat mouthing, and they be mad when he get the motherfucking info from them. And you tell it yourself on a record, you dingbat. You fucking asshole.
Right.
So I crept around the nigga house and I pulled the gun out and I put it in the window. Blue curtains. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's real talk. And that's... I definitely agree. I think you go on there, you tell your business.
What more is he doing than just current events of hip-hop in the culture? Like,
right.
It's not like he pulling any of this shit out of his ass and making it up. You know what I mean? Right. So what's the problem?
Especially if you already know about the nigga. I don't understand how you going to keep, you know, getting, you know, especially new niggas and shit, you get on the interview and you fuck up and make yourself mad. You should have known.
Right.
You should have known. Shout out to Vlad. That's my boy. That's my boy. Again, he never tried to I never felt like he tried to do me fucked up. I interviewed him. You know, really, I ain't got no scandal or nothing to talk about and shit because I don't tell, I don't sell, and I don't fuck with niggas. So I ain't got no scandal. You know what I'm saying? But Vlad's all good with me.
And then at the end of the day, everybody would like to be up on that motherfucking couch, because, nigga, that's motherfucking promotion out this world now.
That's DJ Vlad,
shit,
man.
Yeah.
That nigga's a good nigga. He invited me in his house, man. I smoked his, nigga. I smoked mine, but, you know, because he ain't really smoking, but yeah. I smoked mine.
Allegedly. Right.
I put my feet up. Yeah. Shout out to DJ Vlad, man. That's my man.
Right, and again, you know, nothing against Vlad at all. He gives artists a good platform. I just think it's a lot of times these artists go on there and tend to do too much. So,
well, I mean, that's the industry. I mean, everybody
are negative. It's not his fault that they want to be gangbangers and shoot it out and do all this crazy shit they do. It's not his fault. They don't have to get on camera and do and say the shit that they do and feed into the beefs and all that shit. They doing that on their own. They doing that shit on their own time when they're not on Vlad.
These rappers is fucking dumb. I just want to say this in that regard.
Lyrics.
Let me switch the. Let me allow me. Excuse me.
Yeah, no. Go ahead, man. Let's keep the honest conversation going.
These rappers, you fucking dumb, nigga. You dumb, you fucking idiots. I'm gonna tell you why, my nigga. You're making mucho dollars. Fuck trying to prove yourself to these other weird-ass niggas in the hood that got a street name. Look, your name has now surpassed any buster-ass street name any nigga from your hood got, my nigga.
Damn, that's real.
Live your fucking life and get your money and quit trying to do that gangster shit, especially if you wasn't doing that gangster shit before you were doing music. And if you were doing that gangster shit while you were doing your music and your music began to take off, leave the gangster shit alone, fuck boy.
Yeah.
Enjoy your money. Stop fucking. You ain't got nothing to prove. You got all these fucking babies and you want to tote these guns and run around with 400 niggas with no shirt on, with tight ass pants, with semi-automatic weapons and choker chains. Nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you niggas, man? God damn, I love you niggas, man. Stop. The Fuck, man. Live your life, man. Stop fucking doing stupid shit, my nigga. You got the potential to make millions. Trust me, I understand, man. Doing this TV shit, people be pocket watching and thinking you own, and then you feel like you got to live up to that shit, so you be doing extra goofy shit. But no, just let trust the process and let time take its course, my nigga, and you will be up. Mm. Trust me, my nigga. It ain't like the rap. It ain't like what you rapping about right now, but it will be. You will have fucking Diddy bread, Rosé bread, fucking Jay bread. Yeah. If you just Khaled. Keep on Khaled. But them niggas, they didn't do stupid shit. And guess what? When they did, they swept it under the rug real quick.
They had enough money to make it go away.
They made it go away.
And but that
you,
shit. Right.
You niggas make a career off it, though. You want to say, yeah, I'm the nigga that shot that nigga. Yeah, I'm the nigga that shot that nigga.
Facebook
you got
Live
a whole motherfucking a whole Snapchat. Motherfucking pendant when I'm the nigga that shot that nigga in diamonds.
In diamonds.
You weird ass nigga. When you go to prison, man, I'm going to fuck your bitch. I promise. I'm going to slide by and I'm going to hit that bitch. That's why them young bitches be giving that old niggas the pussy, cause y'all tight jean wearing niggas, y'all want to go to jail and hang out with a bunch of other niggas, man. I can't stand that shit, man. I understand it,
honest
though.
Conversation about hip hop.
I understand it, but I can't stand it. I understand it, but who I can't
approved,
stand it.
Who approved this walking around with your whole entire ass out?
I don't know, man, because when you can see the cuff of a nigga ass, the whole bulb of a nigga's ass, that's not cool, bro.
Exactly.
Like, look here, man. Nigga fuck around and palm your shit, my nigga. Stop, nigga. I swear to God. No homo. Cut, no homo, my nigga. No homo, my nigga. No homo, my nigga. I'm a grown-ass man, and I'm right. comfortable with myself, though. No homo. I don't like men, and I'm not gay, but I will palm your ass, my nigga. I'll palm that motherfucker, nigga, just so you know, nigga. I'll palm that motherfucker. Niggas,
like a rebound off the backboard.
I don't understand it, my nigga. Look here, my nigga. If you about to have sex with your bitch and both of y'all peel your pants off, who's the real bitch? If you gotta peel your pants off, think about it. If you gotta peel them motherfuckers off, a real nigga supposed to be able to unbuckle his motherfucking belt and his pants drop to his motherfucking knees right now. Yeah. Tell me, can you do that? Can you do that? We all can do that right now.
Sir.
Unbutton your pants and you unbutton them and it's just gonna fall.
It's jiggling, right, baby.
That's you know what? And again, that's realness. You giving us. That realism. If you're listening and you want these young heads
it's
that's living that
weird.
Life.
It's just weird. If you ain't gay, why would you do that?
Why you want to show me your
not
whole
just
ass.
The females can see your ass. Niggas can see your ass, too.
You want to show me
it
your...
It ain't just like woman vision.
You want to show me your whole ass and then have the nerve to wear tight, form-fitting boxer
yeah.
briefs.
Yeah, oh, my God.
You know what I'm saying? Stop, my nigga. When I was young, my nigga, again,
where
I sound like an old,
at?
I sound like an old, I sound like an old bitter nigga.
Not at home.
But
shit.
When I was young, nigga, when we sagged, my nigga, we sagged, we had our shirt over our pants.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you could by chance see the underwear, at that time we wore bunchy boxer underwear, so it was bunched up so you didn't just see ass shape. You saw a bunchy ass boxer.
Boxers, yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
If you saw that.
Yeah.
And we didn't show whole ass. It was really a sag. These niggas right now have their pants around their thighs.
These niggas wearing thigh highs, nigga.
They're wearing thigh highs. They're wearing thigh highs with thigh pockets.
I see niggas with the belt, nigga, on their thighs. Nigga, you cannot pull them pants
up. Shout out to them and shout out to anybody that like it. God bless them, man. That's what you like, because I'm sure it's shit I do that you don't like. And you got, you know, again, you gonna talk shit about it, but right now it's my turn and I'm on this conversation about hip hop. So and that's it. If that's what you like, cool. God bless. I ain't hating on that fact. It's right. just not for me. And I'm a comedian and I'm a man and I'm sitting up here and talk shit about it.
I bet you 30 years from now, when they be a grandfather, and
you're gonna feel
see themselves and them pictures looking like Gumby and shit. They gonna be looking like a goddamn
nigga,
Gumby.
My nigga, they gonna be looking like some fucked up, burnt
Granddaddy,
up.
Granddaddy, why'd you
papers.
Have on girl pants?
They gonna look like burnt up. Ass newspapers with all them tattoos covering their body. I tell you, I'm gonna think about a young nigga. You're 18. You get out of school. You probably been getting tats since you was 17. You're 18 now. You get them tattoos. By the time you're 22, you covered in tats. At 22 years old, you think you the motherfucking shit. Think about it, nigga. You gonna be 42 one day, and
that's
you're
right,
not gonna
yeah.
feel the same way. About all them tats that you got your body covered up with, about the big ass lip ring. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna look back at yourself when your kids is looking at you like, damn. Especially them niggas that ain't made it yet. You ain't made it yet. You ain't made no money. You fucked yourself up, nigga. You still live on your...
Go to Target for that interview. Right. You done.
It's just niggas. It's females. The shit so, all across their motherfucking forehead.
So let's talk about that, because it's a perfect segue. You talk about face tats. You talk about the skinny jean movement. And in my opinion, the leader of that is Lil Wayne. So 2017, of course, is, you know, we're halfway through it.
But he ain't even on that shit like that no more.
No, but I'm going to say he's allegedly dropping a new record. He got a mixtape coming out with T-Pain, like it's called T-Wayne or something. Yeah. Today's date, 2017. Is Wayne still relevant? Should we be checking for Wayne? I mean, where are we at with this?
Baby think he relevant. He's going to be relevantly taking his money. You know what I mean?
Wayne is Wayne. No matter if we listen or not, he got a cult following. He going to always do his shit to a certain extent. Will he get back to where he was with the 2,000 verses in 1 year shit? I doubt it. But it's people that love Wayne, like the way that people love Pop.
It's like, man, of course not, man. Wayne is going to be dope. And like you say, Jay, it's people that love Wayne like people love Pop. But will he be the same?
No, because
he had his turn. Mm-hmm. Now, don't get me wrong. Wayne is super dope. I like Wayne. But he has a core following. The fans is going to make sure that he gets some sales and he get it. He's going to eat. He's going to make sure he get his shit. However, his time, everybody got a time. Now, can he have another one? Of course he can. I think he can get hot again, but I don't think
he'll get to the point of where he was before.
Because a lot of those fans are now older.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? A lot of those fans are.
But he transitioned them to Drake. So he can get a reversal back from Drake. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm going to say this. So allegedly he signed to Roc Nation. That's the album that's a label that is dropping on.
I thought that was his management.
No, supposedly that's where the record's coming from. So being now that you know that it is a Roc Nation situation, does that change anything for you? Is Wayne's impact going to be a lot bigger than when he was on Cash Money?
Only if he get Manny Fresh.
He already working with Fresh again. So Baby was blocking that. So yeah, I still don't think it'll be the same, because it was a certain time where you couldn't go nowhere, nigga. It was just Wayne to the point it was like, man, I'm sick of this nigga.
I mean,
I don't dislike it, but I was just tired of hearing his ass. Like, that nigga can rap about popsicles and cold pizza. Nigga be like, you heard Wayne, nigga. Da-da-da. You know what? I have to give it to him, though. Wayne made niggas look at lyrics and bars again. Even though he ain't the most lyrical nigga, when he switched his shit up and stopped writing and all that, he made the industry look at lyrics again. Before then, it was kind of...
I don't know. I'm a late Wayne fan, actually. I'm a late Wayne fan. I didn't really care for Wayne early on. I can't say I didn't care for him as much as I didn't catch the phenomenon as much as some of my younger partners, cousins, relatives, people.
Right.
You know, people around me. I didn't even quite catch it like that, but I think it was the Carter Five. We kind of caught each other. Carter Three. One of the Carters, it was one of the motherfuckers where we kind of caught each other, and I was like, damn, this dude is dope. And since then, I've really been liking him. And by the time I started liking him, my cousin, who was a big Wayne fan, she's a lot younger than me. She was a big Wayne fan. By the time I liked him, she didn't like him no more.
That's crazy.
I'm like, wow.
It's a here and go. You know what I mean? I don't think, honestly, he'll have a problem. He do what all these other guys do, and, you know, I mean, we know he working on something, but he come out in fucking October on a random-ass Tuesday, and he drop his album, he going to get that buzz. I mean, we are here today, gone tomorrow. And, I mean, again, with Drake holding it down at the top two at the position, a lot of them originated from Wayne. And those are a lot of old Wayne fans that are messing with Drake.
It's
so I don't think he going to have a problem, you know.
It's going to be hard to gain them fans.
I'll tell you right now, he's going to have one of the top five album sales out of everybody.
When he changed his whole shit up and he stopped writing and he tried to be like – hip-hop, lyrical, and all that from what he used to do.
But they still purchase.
Look,
you know,
most of his fans he gained on mixtapes, remaking other people's songs.
That's true.
No Ceilings and all that old shit that they was just loving. It wasn't off a real song.
Yeah,
so
no, I never understood that. What the fuck is the difference between a real song? I understand a mixtape, you might be rapping over somebody's beat, but that's a real song. Shit, I'm listening to that motherfucker. No disrespect, Jay.
No,
go ahead.
You know, this industry, like, just how a freestyle ain't a freestyle no more.
Yeah.
Right, and a mixtape's not a mixtape anymore.
And a mixtape. A mixtape used to be on a goddamn cassette tape. So
right. And even industry-wise, mixtape's no longer a mixtape once Chance won that Grammy for his mixtape. First ever mixtape they let into the rap album of the year category. So he changed that. So that music platform has changed as well. Let's kind of talk about the music platforms that are available to us right now. So in the current environment, there's just so many platforms available to artists. Do you think the internet has kind of watered down hip hop, or is it blown, or is it opened up, different avenues for folks to go ahead and get on?
It depends on how you look at it.
It's kind of up to the user.
Yeah.
You can use it for your demise or you can use it for your come up. It's all about you personally, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
You can get on the internet and get on there and show dope money and snitch on yourself like these young niggas, or you can get on there and grind and build a fan base like Chance, like mm-hmm. Mac Miller, like
right.
all these overnight sensations. It's up to you. If you want to be stupid, you be stupid. Get your ass killed behind the internet. But if you really trying to do something, it's all about where your mind is at.
And let's say seemingly overnight sensations, because all them boys put in work.
They put in work.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always groundwork behind the scenes. Like, back to the Kendrick thing. I was listening to Kendrick 10 years before niggas were even talking about him. I kind of like his music back then better than I like it now. K-Dot. Yeah, when he was K-Dot. Yeah, before Top Dog and all that. Like,
yeah. But I mean, it can go either way, because Lil Yachty is making Kendrick money. You know what I mean? Just being an internet sensation. You know what I mean? So the internet is, it can go either way. You know what I mean? Because everything, if something goes viral and you catch, you just better be ready. Look at Trinidad James. He caught.
Yeah.
And he couldn't sustain that catch.
And you just got to know a lot of that shit going to weed itself out. The real is going to stand up, and the fake, the overnight sensations, the flashing bangs,
mm-hmm.
they're gonna fade out. That's all it is. Because
there ain't nothing behind that shit.
Right. My opinion is basically, we were talking about this earlier in regards to me and D-Funk, in regards to the whole Joe Budden situation, but I'll relate that to the internet, is most artists, if you really have a good song, something that might be catchy or whatever, you're gonna get that one shot. You're gonna get that one shot to push it, and similar to Trinidad James, he had the one shot, couldn't follow it up. Similar to Bobby Shmurda before he went away, he had that one shot, couldn't follow it up. That's what the internet has provided everybody. Before the internet, you had to have three or four records to even really kind of get noticed. You
radio.
Had to be out there grinding for, something to really pick up and for you to get noticed. There are very few cats that just had one song and went to do their thing. So, I mean, that's my opinion when it comes to that situation there.
It's kind of a good and a bad thing, because
it
depends. One type of song that you just make, just making music, it kind of can mess you up. Because if that blow up and that's not really your lane,
right.
they always hold you to that. The kind of with the Joe Budden thing. Like, I hate it, Pump It Up remake, whatever the hell that song was.
Pump It Up, yeah.
It's still trash to me to this day, but
wow.
But if you ask me about his new album and his current music, I'm like, I'm digging that. That's some of the shit that I'm really, really rocking with
right
now.
Right.
He's one of, like, the elite MCs that now, years later, that I got to listen to him, but that one single threw me off to where every time I hear his name, all I can think about was that dumbass song over and over, and it can kind of hurt you. If you don't go for your lane, if you don't go for what you do for real with that first one, because that's like a nigga acting hard. You know what I mean? You come out with this gangsta ass song and all this shit, and then they think that's you, and you got to continue on with it when you can't come back with another one to top that or even get close to it. Pretty soon, they're going to be like, oh, this dude is a fraud right here. Or if you're trying to be the get high dude like a lot of people is right now, this nigga don't even smoke weed in real life. It come out.
Hey, Jay Guns, hey, wait, hold on, man. You just struck a nerve with a nigga right now. Because I hate these fucking fake smokers, my nigga. And this is an honest conversation about hip-hop, my nigga. I want to call a few of these motherfuckers out, but I'm going to keep that to myself because my money ain't right yet.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can't be around here fat-mouthing, man, with these mics on and shit. Maybe we get out in the front yard or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe, like, we go stand on the corner, I'll say it. But there's some fake smokers out here. I don't appreciate that shit. These niggas out here misleading these young people. Like, my nigga, Don't be wasting this weed, man. You know it's niggas in Watts that really need that weed. Yeah. Right? Niggas in Long Beach that need that weed. Yeah. You over there playing the shit, fake smoking, poofing it out and shit. You fuck the boy, poof. Niggas, stop. Let me show you some fake smoke. I can't even demonstrate with no weed, man.
Yeah.
That shit, let me show you fake smoke. Who had their camera? Look, this fake smoke. This fake smoke. No homo. No homo. Watch a nigga movements with his mouth. No homo, though. Watch this. Watch this. This fake smoke. I almost hit it. Let me show you again. I almost hit it. Let me not do it. Watch this. I hit it. I'm sorry.
Sorry, y'all missing out on the visuals.
You missing it, man, but it's
smoke.
Smoke
is giving us a smoking lesson.
Niggas don't even inhale it. Niggas just puff the weed and spit it back out. I see that shit. I see that shit. You know, is that how they do it up north where you boys come from?
Uh-oh. Shots fired.
Ouch.
Honest conversation by hip-hop. Shots fired.
Shout out to the King of the West Coast, E-40.
Yeah, I mean, shit, man. I seen some niggas come from my own area, man. You know, coming straight out of Compton,
Coming straight out of Compton. That's, in a nutshell, there's a lot of fake. There's a lot of unreal in the industry. But let's talk about what's good about the industry really quick before you wrap up the show. I'm going to go to you, Sign. What's the best thing about hip-hop right now?
It's a lot of good things about it, man. I mean, it's still one of the businesses that you can actually capitalize, or something that we got to control or got control of. I mean, the corporate agenda and everything has influenced it a lot, but you can still come without having to go to Harvard or the opportunities that's not provided to us, in our areas coming up. You can turn it into a success. So, the business aspect of it, the ability to actually, speak to others, communication and things of that nature. You can speak through your music and expand a fan base or a market, to put things out into perspective and open eyes. So, there's many things. Those are probably the two that would be on my mind.
Guns, what's good about hip hop right now?
All these bitches.
You gotta elaborate on that. What is
this good about Earth? Shit, fuck hip hop.
You gotta think about it, nigga. Uh-huh. Before the internet and all this shit, this shit probably blow a nigga wig back to come home out the pen and look and see y'all just keep scrolling and scrolling.
Right.
No, on some real shit though, it's starting to be a balance. It's actually real music on a mainstream level now, not just underground. It's starting to slowly teeter totter out. So
okay,
and then everybody making their money, and then you taking the corporation out the situation, and a lot of cats.
Independence, a lot of cats wising up.
I'm for the joint venture over 360.
So no more 360s. Yeah, that's. I mean, they're still out there. I mean, and the uneducated youngsters.
The streets gonna choose what pop regardless.
Hey,
you got
in defense of them niggas that take them 360s, man. Let me tell you this, man. You don't know some of the odds these dudes is coming from, and they're going to jump on the first amount of money they get.
Exactly. Hey, I'm not knocking.
That's what I'm saying, Jay Guns.
Coming out the mud.
You got to understand, like, a lot of people will talk shit about these people, like, later on when you hear that story. But look here, when a nigga shove $100,000 in your face and you ain't, nigga, and you, you $132 in the hole with your bank account
right now.
Yeah, you sleep at your mama house, nigga. Right. You going to jump on that shit, and I don't give a fuck what
reality
you say.
Reality over hip-hop going to come and set it in real quick.
So shout out to you, man. Shout out to you, man. God bless you, man. I just pray that you do something right with your money.
Right.
Now, what's good with hip-hop is that everybody's touched on the same thing, and I'm going to touch on it as well, the opportunity it provides for so many young entrepreneurs, young minorities to, again, you can claim your own destiny in there. You can write your own check if you're doing it right.
Exactly.
Shout out to Anthony Top Dog Tiffett. Do that shit, because that dude is a perfect example. You know, he got one of the hottest labels in the game right now.
Probably the hottest.
One of the most profitable. Shout out to cats like E-40.
Right.
Shout out to cats like Too Short that paved the way as far as,
veterans
going out
eating there.
Yeah, we going around the big builders. We just going to get it out the hood directly. And shout out to them dudes right there,
We got to support them.
Yeah, we gotta support.
We gotta support cats like P and 40, the OGs that's still out there doing it, because they cracked it open for all of this to be available for us right now. And we would be ungrateful if we don't reach back to the OGs like all the time. Like,
especially
that's what I don't like
hot.
About the new artists. Like, you gotta pay homage. You gotta show respect to the ones that came before you, because they the ones that opened that hole. You wouldn't even be where you at without them.
Right, but you know, some of these niggas didn't even listen to the OGs. You know, right. You got cats coming in, and you know, their first album they bought in, you know, their first album, you know, again, they probably wasn't aware of hip hop until 2000.
Yeah.
You know, it's 4 years old, and they remember fucking Ja Rule or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And again, just to touch on that, one thing I believe in, I feel like the elder statesmanship on the West Coast is extremely, you know, kind of fractured, you know, and that we never really, there was that first wave that came through. There wasn't really a second wave of guys to come through. And now you have this third wave of artists that really don't have any middle ground, you know, like,
well,
you know,
that's reflective of society.
Very true.
I think here in the West Coast, you know what I'm saying? There is no organization in the streets as far as the street factions that run the city. You know what I'm saying?
There's gangs ain't got no
these young niggas
so
gonna do
gonna
what the fuck they gonna do.
Yeah,
right.
They gonna do what the fuck they wanna do. They having money and they ain't gotta listen to your old ass nigga. You ain't got one of these motherfucking Wraiths. You ain't got a Maybach, nigga. You on a bus, nigga. You work at Ralph's, nigga. I'm on.
Back to what I was saying.
That's just that's
they
just
only
how
respect
it.
A dollar and a bullet. That's all they respect.
But that's, I mean, it's crazy, man. Because I mean, everything is available. You know what I'm saying? What I had thought about and what killed me is with the industry and the business. It took us about 40 or not even 40. I say 50 to 60 years to figure it out. As far as your publishing, because cats wasn't start getting paid or being label owners, other than Berry Gordy, but nobody else until the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So like, the young cats gotta pay tribute and respect for them cats to figure it out, because everything is so easy and accessible. You can go to Google and understand.
When you say pay, what they gotta pay though? That's one thing. Like, what they got
to
do? Feature
just,
a nigga
just,
on the song?
No, just respect.
No, just
respect.
To acknowledge.
Me.
Just
acknowledge
to acknowledge.
Me. Not even a feature
just
or anything like
that. Just like you
can't
come up in
the industry. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm going to start some shit. The young cats don't got nuts to bang with the old cats on the track, because they know they'll get body. They ain't lyricists like that.
So, okay. So, let me ask you this. So, should an artist like Quick produce an album? I know he's working with Problem. But produce an album.
Why ain't there no Quick and YG songs out there?
But if I'm Quick, why am I not reaching out to the young West Coast heads and saying, "Look, I got this fire. Let's get you on these. Let's get you on these albums." I mean, he's produced for Kendrick.
I mean, you don't think Quick has reached out?
I would say no, because they're not.
I mean, he makes his money on the road. He makes his money on the road. But nothing. I promise you, nothing is better than that mailbox money and getting paid. Off of them quarterly, them quarterly payments.
You're talking about revenues
through.
From producing and things
you know
of that
saying?
Nature.
Like, come on now, you're publishing money. You know what I'm saying?
Straight up. I mean, I don't know.
You think he would rather go to the Observatory, you know, five times out of the quarter instead of just getting that money in the mailbox? You know what I'm saying? Like, he older, bro. He should be enjoying his family and just doing.
And
older,
he probably,
older.
But
he
you
probably
know
is.
What? My Quick have a track record of falling out with artists, man. I'm not going sugarcoat it. I'm gonna keep it 100. If you look at his track record, he got put out a lot of good artists, but the relationship always goes somewhere else years down the line. Name somebody that Quick started with that he's still with right now.
I can't even go. I mean, I heard him and Sugar Free coming back together, but I can't really.
Yeah, I mean, they still doing shows
keyword,
and stuff.
Coming
doing
back
shows,
together.
But they doing shows and they working.
Coming, but
that's
how
they eat.
Years?
That is they source of income.
Sugar Free dropped when I was in high school.
Oh, of course.
And it's 2017. I graduated in 2000. I'm talking about 98, 99 when Sugar Freak first came out. So how is they barely reconnecting now? That's what I'm talking about.
But I mean,
relationship
they've been doing shows
wise.
For the last year and a half, 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Why Sugar Free ain't got
I don't know why they not working. I mean, they all do.
Why Sugar Free don't have another album produced by Quick like Street Gospel?
I mean. I don't
know.
I'm not in the camp.
That's what
I'm
saying.
In
it's internal things. Like, it be something going on with the artist between him.
You
like,
never know. It could be label stuff.
Yeah,
could be
it's some internal
philosophies
shit.
On where they want to go with music. My thing is, I just wish that more elder hip hop heads would be reaching out to the youngsters, especially on the production side. You know, a Dre, you know, a Quick, Battle Cat. It'd be dope if we could get a Battle Cat record. You know, with basically something like High Tech used to do.
The thing about Dre, though, I want to give much respect to Dre because Dre has created a tree. He's part of a tree, a motherfucking large vein of West Coast hip hop, a large vein of hip hop. Mm-hmm. Period. He started a tree, and like between Eminem, 50, Snoop, Kendrick, I don't care how they got to him.
Game, everybody, game too.
Between the four, I don't care how they got to him or who had him first or how they ended up when Dre got a hold of him. Dre, and he, you know, Dre's made his contribution. He made more than enough. And the thing about Dre, one thing I want to really shout out, respect to him, because Dre handpicks his talent and he don't go overboard with it. He gonna find him a nigga about once every 5 years. You know what I'm saying? But that nigga be that
don't
nigga.
Don't introduce him to the Kardashians.
That nigga be that nigga. Game, Kendrick,
back
Eminem.
Back to what I just said. Look at
50.
The relationship with all the artists he had, whether they there or not.
But see, with Dre, a lot of people bounce from Dre.
But you see, publicly, they still have a relationship.
Well,
it ain't
no
some fuck you type
the
shit. There's plenty of people that's been signed to Dre, but it ain't no falling out type relationship. There's something going on over there with Quick that's holding him back from being what he's supposed to.
Honestly, guys,
Quick is supposed to be right next to Dre, right under him when it comes to his respect and his legacy.
But I think it comes down to the different levels that Quick and Dre are on. Quick is on lower echelon. So if you have beef with Quick, what really is the consequence from that? Mm-hmm. If you have beef with Dre, that's a much longer consequence. I think cats handle that differently because they know who Dre is versus who Quick is when it comes to the power in the industry. Personally, I'm a bigger Quick fan than I am a Dre fan when it comes to beats and music.
Quick is like,
but Dre is that dude, unfortunately.
Quick is one of the best rapper producers in the hip-hop period, to me.
He is, but Dre is aftermath. He's generating so much money for, you know, Interscope, Universal, you know what I mean? Quick is not, even though musically, if you had asked me, I'm rolling with Quick over Dre. That's just my personal opinion. But Dre is in that power position that Quick just hasn't got
to
yet.
It all leads back to your character, too, because remember when Quick was the A&R over some Warner or some shit.
When he had the joint with Bungalow.
Yeah, and he fucked that up.
He did.
He fucked that up.
It was Bungalow Records. That's what that was.
You know what I mean? Like,
hey, what ways is Bungalow?
Your ways and like the way you deal with people come back into play.
Well, he had Bone.
Relationships come back into play.
When he had Bone, he had a little roster put together and then it fell out.
You got to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those cats that he may not be cool with no more, some of them are still doing okay, and his shine kind of dimmered down, like, for a while. Now he's coming back up, but, like, you know what I mean? You can't.
Shout out to Quick. I'm going to be biased for a quick second. Quick is that guy.
Throw me a beat, Quick.
Quick is a legend. He inspired me to do music, but I'm just saying, like I feel like certain things that he do hold him back from the status and the respect that he should get in hip-hop.
We know
he's a legend, but we can't go around the world in different places in different states and people feel the same way we do.
They don't even
know him like how we do.
That's real smart.
And he should be in that mention like Dre, but he's not.
He's not. Well, gentlemen, I just want to really thank you guys for, you know, coming down and doing this with me. Slink, you know, big shout outs to just being a real dude and coming down and doing this, not even needing to do this, but just blessing us with, you know, just the dopeness that you're going to share with these listeners. They're going to listen and really get some gems in this podcast. So
I hope
the
motherfuckers listen. You right on, D, because I hope they listen. Because, you know, you little hard head niggas, I'll be your stepdaddy. I will come in there. You need to listen, because what's wrong with you? You lack guidance. You know what I'm saying? I come in there and wrangle your mama. I got to get her in line first, and then, you know, we'll get together and work on you. You know what I'm saying? So I come through there, man, make sure your mama cook something, you know what I'm saying, and wear that thing I like, you know what I'm saying, and be your ass in the bed at 9, nigga. I'm going to be over there, fuck your mama. I mean, go over there and chill. You know what I'm saying? Try to restructure your household. Slink Johnson, restructuring households one by one.
Yeah. He's here to save America, folks.
Yes, yes. I'm gonna come in there and fuck your mama. That's what's wrong. Like a lot of these women, man. You know, shout out to beautiful, strong, empowered women. You know, nigga, man, we need a lot more beautiful, strong, empowered women. But it's a lot of misguided young chicken fish out here that need some guidance.
Chicken fish.
So I want to slide through and make sure you get where you need to go in life.
He's trying to save your life.
Smoke Yours.
That's right.
Yeah, shout out to the Smoke Yours crew, too.
Yeah, man,
you know
for coming
mean?
Through. Much love, man. D-Funk.
Shout out to D.
Coming through and just chilling
over
with
here
us.
Over here rolling blunt still the whole damn show.
He was rolling blunt the whole time.
Hey, D-Funk was a ninja in his past life. He's out of here. Nothing over there.
Yeah. This nigga don't stop.
Yo, he don't. You. He don't.
Hey, man, but the marijuana would bring me and this nigga together for everything to trickle to what it is right now, nigga, years ago.
So speaking of D-Funk, first of all, again, just thank you. Everybody for coming through. Hopefully you listen to the podcast, Honest Conversation About Hip Hop. You can find us on Facebook, also on Instagram. You can find this joint in the future on Apple. And we'll pick another form of media to go ahead and put it on. Big shout-outs to Overtime Hustling. Big shout-outs to the Smoke Yo's crew. Big shout-outs to everybody who's listening. Of course, we're here at the World Is Yours studio, Long Beach. My man Max for doing the whole engineering thing, taking care of us. Ivy League Radio Show. Big ups to my boy, Curl.
Verb.
But, Slink, you want to say something before we peace out this piece?
Yo, follow me on all your social networks, at Slink Johnson, SlinkJohnson. Also, follow the Smoke Yours crew at Smoke Yours Crew, SmokeYourscrew. Smoke Yours Crew. You know what I'm saying? Follow my man D-Funk. Follow my man D-Funk 420, man. I forgot how to spell your shit.
Yeah, nah, we're going to let D-Funk say his piece because we actually, I'm going to let you introduce the song. We're going to play out every episode of An Honest Conversation with Hip Hop. We're going to have a part that we call the outro where we're just basically going to play a track, and that's going to ride us out for the end of the show. So I'm going to go ahead.
Hold on, D. This the first one, though, bitch. So you got to just let us freestyle a little bit while you over there looking for structure, because we right here on this motherfucker. We having an honest conversation, and sometimes a conversation go a little longer than you want it to. Consider this a bonus, bitch. Now sit your motherfucking ass down. I got my man D. Feezy. Okay. We having an honest fucking conversation. I want to have an honest conversation about this nigga Lil Uzi Vert.
Woo!
Like, dude, I'm just going to say this, dude. You know, again, you got to embrace everybody and everything, and I will because I'm a grown-ass man and I understand life. But what is your message, Lil Uzi?
Out there looking like a grunge singer.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Like, for real, just as a father of a child around that age.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I just really stand for my son coming in the house looking like that.
Right.
Not just because you look like, you know, just you look like the funnest of the fun boys, but not just because of that, but because, dude, like, you marking your body up and shit. Like, for real, I got tattoos on me that I wish I wouldn't have got. Now, everybody ain't the same, right. You know what I'm saying? But, dude, calm down, man. You making yourself look like a troll. By the time you're 35, you're going to be fucked up, man. Put all this shit on you. Guns and knives, tattoos and fucking piercings and dying your fucking teeth and shit. Nigga, what the fuck is wrong with you, man? These niggas like father. Look, hey, my nigga, look here, man. Send me a picture of your mama. DM me a picture of your mama.
Uzi.
And I'm going to go on a case-by-case basis depending on how fine your mama is. You know what I'm talking about? Don't worry about it. I take you up to 35 years old. You know what I'm saying? That means your mama got to be about, you know, if your mama older than 65, you know, I'm going to have to charge you some money on top of that. But you know what I'm saying? Send me a picture of her first. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to slide
through. Slink Johnson, send your mama's best picture to Slink Johnson.
She got that ass? I mean, if she got the, you know, because I've noticed that, like, as women, especially women of color, they get older, you know, that ass, that caboose get big. You know what I'm saying? I was, hey, nigga.
The metabolism slowed down like Bobby Valentino.
I was in East L.A., man. I seen some old straight up, some straight up, some straight up chuntaro Mexicans, man. Some straight up paisas, man. That old lady had ass. Like, damn, you got ass, girl.
Shout out to my wife. You're not a chuntaro Mexican, but I love you, baby. And you got cakes, too, so you it's know, all good.
Them cakes is good, man. You know, and that's another thing as you get older. You know, y'all younglings got all these slim bitches in the video. You need to put some bitches with some girth and some weight on them. You know what I'm talking about, man? You're going to learn to appreciate that as you get older, man. You know what I'm talking about? Shit, man, that's going to be something that's real right for your life, man, real delightful. You know, who your mom at, man? Send me that picture.
Ashley Johnson, mama, send the pictures. Or sons, if you're trying to get get tutored, send the picture of your mama.
You know, if you need a nigga to holler at you, you know what I'm saying? Because I be trying to really be a mentor somewhat, and I want, like, a lot of young men and a lot of us to come into tune with our feelings, man. Like, sometimes niggas just want to hug. Sometimes you just want to talk to a nigga without the pressure of your homeboys. Like, you can't even talk to your homie because, you know, you can't even really express yourself because you don't want to look weak.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But it's cool. I tell you, homie, I got you. Come holler at me, man. You know, I'll be a listening ear for you. You know what I'm talking about? Because I know what you're going through. I know how you feel, man. So make sure you just send me that picture of your mama, man, so I can, you know.
And, you know, and that's and before we really get out of here, let's just touch on that. I think that's a big thing, man, is we in hip-hop and also in the Black and Latino community, as men, cannot communicate with other men and have an honest conversation because there's always some sort of perceived weakness. And we got to get past that, man. I'm lucky enough to know these two dudes here, San Capone, Jay Gunna, for almost 25, going on 30 years. And so we've had those honest conversations, and that's what's kept us going through different times where you see other people fall by the wayside because they feel I can't express myself, you know, to this individual.
You know, you gotta have them right people again after y'all niggas flip 25 calendars together. There's definitely a rapport. So you have to have those people because, you know, some people will exploit you and some people will, you know, not really value what you're saying or not really value your feelings at that time. So please be mindful as to who you talk to at the same time. Because, you know, again, you know, some shit, like I share some shit with my friends. You know, again, I might have a Superman exterior. We all, as men, want to have a Superman exterior. Man of steel, stone face, no feelings, we good. You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, we got insecurities. We got feelings, man. Right. We tripping. Not on no mushy shit again. That's me just trying to keep the masculinity in here. Right. But we all got feelings, man. And my point is, you know, I'm joking about y'all niggas sending me your mama pictures. Well, not really. I mean, if she fine.
I was about to say, wait a minute.
I mean, if she own a nigga.
I was going to tell him, send her
the song. If she own a nigga, yeah, I hit, yeah. She can hit Max Levels up, too. You know what I'm saying?
Shit, you know?
She can holler at my boy Max Levels because he'll knock that ass down, too. But my nigga, if you ever want to talk, like, you know, again, in my brief experience as a television actor, I've got a lot of love. You know, I get a lot of fans, and I get guys that hit me up that ask me things. And again, I want to start a column, man, because, you know, again, brother, what you feeling and what you going through ain't wrong because that's what you feeling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now, it's not you know, how you might go about dealing with it might be wrong or might not be the best way that for you and everybody around you. But, you know, what you feeling ain't wrong, so don't be afraid to express yourself, young man. I feel that angst you going, you know what I'm saying? Take them tight-ass pants off, my nigga, and you can fucking
set
breathe.
Yourself free, you'll be all right. But that is a dope idea. Ask Slink, Les, you need to get on the phone to make that happen for OTH Magazine going forward. But, again, just want to thank everybody for coming through and definitely spending the time with us today. So, Defunct, Mr. Foe 20.
Yes,
you got a song we about to play. It's off your new mixtape. I'll let you intro it and do your thing, brother.
All right, sure. Well, this song I did for the ladies out there that's doing the thing in the 420 community. Much love to the 420 nurses. So let's go on and jump up in it. Up off the TNC.
Overtime hustling.
We love 420 nurses by your boy, Defunct 420. Let's go.
Honest conversation about hip hop. Thank you for tuning in. We out. See you next time.
This here is a little something I had to do for the 420 nurses. You know what I'm saying? For all the love they have shown me, I had to show them return.
We love 420 nurses.
Nurses, this for you in every chapter, every city. Yeah, I'm talking about you. Down a dab, down a smoke. Damn, girl, you cute. I love the way how y'all represent. Most other girls, they so hesitant. But not you, because you're the shit. You're the ones we trying to get with. When it comes to smoking, you doing it all the time. Just like me, together we be made for these cannabis trees. But this ain't about me, it's all about you. And you and you, you and you, and you and you and who? Well, you get the picture, so you must see what I'm saying. Started right here in Cali, where we always blaze in.
We the Boat 20 Nurses. 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 We the Boat 20 Nurses.
For all that y'all have done for showing me love, I had to do the same thing by doing this song. Now some of you ladies just might sing along. That's what this boat. Blaze up and let's go. One, for my ladies.
Two,
rolling that dro.
Three,
time to get high.
Four,
who's ready to blow?
Five,
smoking that live.
Six,
feeling this shit from head to toe. You the one skirting all TNA, having fun. Strictly business when you're done. Pardon me for being blunt. From what I see, I believe in all things you can do from the love. Now you can hashtag that ILOVE 420 Nurses, baby.
We the Boat 20 Nurses. 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 We the Boat 20 Nurses.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.